next speaker. We've got to know him over the last couple of years, and we have great times going to Starbucks. We'll all meet there and talk for hours, and Danny is in on the conversations. And, you know, a lot of times we find that a lot of the ministers have lanes of ministry or different areas that really strike home with them. Well, Danny has a lane. His lane is the love of God. He sees things in the love of God that are very, very deep, and just way below the surface, that are awesome and touch your heart completely. I'm assuming that's what he's speaking on today. Excellent. But Danny Kelly.
I'm more of the one-on-one person, which is good. First of all, I'd just like to say thank you and blessings to each and every one of you. You know, something that God has been really showing me strong in the last couple years is how important it is for us to realize that He is in everybody. And that's just an aspect of the definition of the love of God that He's showing me in my life. You know, it's so awesome how I'm sitting up here and I listen to these men of God, in which we all are men and women of God, but how they just share their heart, and share their knowledge and things God's shown them. But what's amazing to me is as I listen, God gives me little nuggets. In the last two conferences I've been at, I've become known as the summarizer of the conference. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. But I'm sitting there and I'm taking notes, and as I'm looking, just the first three speakers so far, and I was like, I don't even think they realized they said this, or this. But it was in their message. But the common denominator is that God is love. You know, I remember as a young child, grew up in church all my life. Come from a single parent home pretty much most of my life. And just having a really basic understanding of God. And it was like every time I would think of God, I would think of love. And of course, you know, we've been taught, you know, that's one thing the church has got right, is the image of Christ as being the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate example of what God's love is. And the title of, I guess you can say, of a message, I wrote this down, it's a loving thing. We say we love God, but let's start acting like it. Uh-huh. You know, I think of 1 Corinthians 13, and it's been known as the love chapter. It's a chapter that I've spent a lot of time in, and a lot of time in prayer and study, and it leads me to other things in the scriptures and in God. But I think of how, if somebody could read it, but that's all right. We all pretty much know what it says. But think of some of the things, you know, it says, if I have knowledge, if I can speak with tongues of angels, if I have this wisdom, if I have everything that else that are attributes of knowing God, but if I don't have love, wasting my time. Bible paraphrase says, I'm nothing. That's a pretty strong word. And that just resonated in my heart over the years. And I want to start out in John 21, 14 through 17. And we've all heard messages on these scriptures, and it's where Peter and Jesus having a conversation. And I like the Message Bible. And I read King James, I read NIV, I read the Amplified, I do a study. When I study, I read a lot of different Bibles. But the Message seems to, and I think the reason I like it so well is because, like I said, a lot of my ministering, I guess you could say, because we all have a ministry, is one-on-one, because I do work for a living. I work 6 and 7 days on my job, so the majority of my life is intermingling with people that don't know that they know God.
Right.
And so the Message Bible kind of just, I don't know, there's just something about it that just kind of makes people, you can understand what God is saying, or what the Word is trying to say. But anyway, so I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. John 21, 14 through 17. It says, Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? "Yes, Master, you know I love you," Jesus said. "Feed my sheep." He then asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Master, you know I love you," Jesus said. "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, "Do you love me?" So he answered, "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." We've got to ask ourselves, why did Jesus answer a question of love with a statement of action? Because love is an action word in the deepest spiritual sense. It was a directive from the heart of the Father God through the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to all that would listen. If God is in control and is truly sovereign and loves us, did he leave man to wander for eternity? I think not. Maybe we need to realize that the root cause for man's existence has not been lost. And that is to know, love all and be loved by God Almighty. Yes, some have come with false or incomplete representations of the church, or even God himself, or not completely true whole representations. But I believe those can be weeded out by not truly showing the love of God through the example shown to us by through the life of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. You know, it's something that God shared a while ago that God is showing me in the last couple of years is to recognize him in all things and all things and everybody. And I wrote this down one day, and I said, God had me write this down. He said, God is talking to everyone all the time. The question is not to whom he is speaking, but who is listening.
Yes.
Immediately after I read that, the Lord began to speak to my heart and my spirit, and I got this, and this is what I wrote down. God said, God loves all of us, all of his created, and desires not that anyone should perish. The question is not, will all be saved, but are you being and telling of the love that he has for all? It's powerful. John 3:16, well, we all know the script. We all know that scripture. But I want to share it out of the Message Bible. It says, this is how, 16 through 18, actually, what I'm going to read. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one would be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all that trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. No, he came to help, he came to rescue, he came to be the Savior of the world, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. You know, I was thinking about, I was sharing about how God is beginning to show me how he is in everybody. And I began to notice some things, and I just want to share a couple things with you. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but they did a YouTube documentary. Is everybody familiar with what YouTube is? It's a big thing on the internet. It's where people can go and leave videos, messages, whatever. And they did this documentary, and it's actually a one-hour-long show that came on, it was either CNN, it was one of the big channels after they did this documentary. What they did for a whole year, they did a study on people's lives from all over the world, just randomly did. And it had, you know, different religions, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. They just did a random study of where they would go in and would put people in these people's lives and study them for a whole year. And they came together and did a summary and just did this video on TV. And, you know, there were some hard and difficult things, but mostly, most of the things that they discovered was very beautiful. And one of the ladies that was the directors of this show, claimed to be an atheist, made this statement. She said, to see people from different backgrounds motivated by the same fears and longings was moving to me. It's a reminder that there is more that unites us than separates us.
Yes.
Now, did she mention God? No, but I think that was something in her spirit that was saying, there's a bigger picture here. There's something, by saying those words, that there's something in us that unites us, more that unites us than separates us. God is everywhere and working in us all. There's an actress named Sofia Vergara, who there's a big TV show on TV now called Modern Family. I've never seen it, but I mean, it's got high ratings, and what we would call people in the world would watch the movie, watch the TV show. But this lady, I read a little article in a magazine on her. She's from Colombia. And we all know, if you know much about Colombia, it's a very rough country. It's not drug infested. The government's ran by drug cartels. I mean, so you can imagine what kind of life people have there. But this lady, she was sharing her story, and just summarizing because it was a pretty long article. Basically, she had a rough life. She, a single mom home, lived through abuse as a child, sexual, mental, physical. Somehow, by the grace of God, got here to this country, and she really didn't go into much detail. But in fact, right now, in her life now, she is currently living with a boyfriend.
Oh, sin.
But watch how God is working through this lady. She said this in her article. She said, "I try not to think about the bad times," referring to her childhood. She said, "They happened. I may never know why, but there must be a reason, because I know that there is a God that is good. Don't just stay where you are. Instead, use your energy and the love that you have inside you to move forward. Love and rebuild life." Now, this one, that didn't come from, you know, as the scripture says, when they asked who Jesus was, and the disciples said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "This wasn't revealed to you by man. It was revealed to you by the Spirit." I think that same thing happened in this woman's life. In Joshua 5:13-15, Mark, can you turn that and read that real quick? I was thinking about, God was showing me how, I said, "You know, Lord, I've been taught all my life that you are for the good and against the bad." And I was just skimming through the Bible one day, and the Lord had me stop and begin to read in Joshua. Actually, I began at the beginning, but in chapter 5, verse 13-15. Mark, will you read that? We all know the story. Well, go ahead and read that now.
"Now it came about that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite of him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'As for us or for our adversaries,'" this is New American Standard. "And he said, 'No, rather I indeed now come as a captain of the Lord of the hosts, captain of the hosts of the Lord.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said, 'Why hast thou, my Lord, to say to this servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, 'Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy.' And Joshua did so."
What I want to bring out there is the verse where it says, where he asked him, he said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" What Joshua was wanting him to do is draw a line. Okay, well, here I am. I'm your nation. We're representing you. Are you for us or are you for them? What did he say? He said, "No." I looked at a translation in a concordance of that, and that "no" basically meant neither. So that was just an idea, a way of God showing me that I never said I was for somebody or against somebody. How can I be for somebody or against somebody when I'm in everybody? I think of getting back to the relationship thing and the love of God. You know, I thought of seek, ask, and knock. And God just showed me kind of a different idea of seek, ask, and knock. He says, seek. He said, that's the personal relationship that he wants with us. He wants to seek him. Ask. You know, I've been taught, you know, ask for what you want and you'll receive it. And I don't have a problem with that. But I think sometimes it goes a little deeper than that. This is what the Lord showed me. He said, ask not so much what we want, but what is best for us or what we need to know. Knock. Open the door. We always told knock. When we open the door, boy, and there it is. And God will open doors for us. But if you ever go to a house and you knock on the door, even if somebody opens it, they don't say, "Come in," they open the door. But if you just stand there, where are you going to go? You got to take that step to go in through that door. And the common denominator, root purpose in all this is love. Whether we're seeking, asking, and knocking is about ourselves, a friend, a loved one, an enemy, the government, or the world. God wants us to operate in His love, and we must grow to be more concerned with others than ourselves. You know, there's two things that I've seen in the life of Christ that I believe we must get a hold of it as believers. And as God's will was above His own, and because He got a hold of this, He was able to truly operate in the second thing, and that is unconditional love. And that is where we, as a church, I pray we get to be. God loved us so much. He loves us so much and desires to fellowship with us. And have we as a child of God betrayed Him by not living up to our potential as a representation of Him to the world? How, you might say? Well, have we really learned to love unconditionally? Did we show the world how much He loves them and us by doing what we would have, what He would have us do? I'm just asking. We must begin to not only hear His word, whether it be the written or spoken, but we got to learn to listen. And this is to know His heart, His purpose, and that is that none should perish, and to show unconditional love. In Mark chapter 2, 13 through 17, it was where it talks about where Jesus sat down with the tax collector. And I wrote this down. It says, dinner with sinners and tax collectors, wow. Here's an aspect of being Christ-like most don't experience. Today, would it be like having dinner with a radical Muslim, giving a hug of encouragement to a homosexual or a lesbian, speaking compassionately with an abortionist, treat with respect the liberal? Don't compromise your faith, but be compassionate while we share the truth. Kindness with godly principles. The love of God has no boundaries. Let us be the light in this dark world, for God is love. How much time do I have? Really? Only a child of God could be an expert at loving, because only He can love Himself well. A love for others is a supernatural love from God that can only come from a true love for self. One of the brothers mentioned the scripture about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is to truly know how much God loves you and understand that it is free and unconditional. You know, I've read that scripture a million times and I never understood. And, you know, I kind of just skip over that last part. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But as I think Brother Harold shared that. But how can we, you say, well, love yourself. That's a, you know, well, that's a conceited thing. That's a selfish thing. But it's not a thing to where you glorify yourself. I believe what God is saying there, it's realizing how much He loved you and how much He does love you. Because until you really, truly understand that, you really can't love anybody like God wants you to love them. The ability to love well and love yourself well is a gift from the Holy Spirit. God is love, and He desires to show the world His love. But we are the ones responsible for grasping it and showing it to the world. Unselfish, free-giving love is the best gift that God can give us. It is a godly principle, a permanent power that comes from the heart of God. And only those who completely submit to the love of Jesus can show it to others. Through the greatest example of God's love, Jesus Christ, we become more like Him every day. When we surrender to Him, when self is submerged in His will, and then love for others becomes a natural instinct of sorts. And remember that as Christ showed us, love is an action word that desires nothing in return and is solely given for the good and health of another. And I really believe that we can become supernatural lovers, but we must put our God-giving love into action. Yes. Thank you.